in a place where cost of living is low, especially in comparison to the median income in an area, you're more likely to experience growth. If people can afford to live in the area easily, then there's room for rent to rise as more jobs and people move into the area.
Welcome to the Free From Wall Street podcast, where we share how we have done over $200 million in real estate deals to create, preserve, and pass on generational wealth without the roller coaster ride of the stock market. If you're ready to start investing with purpose, visit freefromwallstreet.com. But for now, let's dive into this episode.
Welcome back to the Free From Wall Street podcast. My name is Steve Libman. I'm your host for the day. Had a pretty interesting couple of days. My team went down to St. Augustine to meet with some mentors, talk about how we're scaling up our business. Really fun stuff. I got to go hang out with some 7, 8, 9, and 10 figure business owners. And just learning from those guys, right? So growth is one of our core values, and we're always trying to learn to get better for us and our families and our investors. So today what I want to talk about is 10 key factors to consider when determining what markets to invest in. You know, a lot of people always ask us this question, like, hey, why do you invest there? Why do you invest over here? Well, it's not really rocket science, right? We always like to take credit that we're the smartest guys in the room. Not true. We do not invest in California, New York, and New Jersey. Any reason why? Top three exited states in the country. Where people are moving out of, don't invest. Where people are moving into, invest. Pretty simple strategy, right? So I'm going to just go through the 10 points real quick as to like what are we looking for in these separate markets. And that way, when you get a deal, you can look at some of the same type of investment opportunities for those areas, right? So we're going to be talking about job growth, population growth, job diversity, landlord-tenant laws, taxes, geography or geographical features, cost of living, local news, like what's going on in the location, and then local government. And then finally, it's whether or not you have an unfair advantage. So job growth, it's a leading indicator of population growth. The more jobs, more residents, the more likely an area will maintain a strong tenant base. When more people are attracted to an area, the demand for housing increases, which drives up rent and real estate prices. If you guys have noticed, Texas, Florida, two fastest growing states in the country, which means they have a housing shortage. So when there's downside pressure on that housing, increasing rents is kind of the solve for it, right? So supply and demand. Second, population growth. So finding an area with long-term upward population growth trends, not just a temporary bump, is key. So a major factor that supports that is the job growth, like we just talked about. And then these two metrics provide a really good picture of health for future in a given market, right? Where we own it, like Columbus, Ohio, Dallas, Texas, Daytona Beach, Florida, Orlando, Florida. All of these are major growing populations because of jobs. And then we want to look at job diversity. So you want to find an area with a variety of industries that support the local economy, right? So strong job growth is much less enticing if you discover that all the jobs are in one industry, like tourism. A recession or negative news story could largely impact the number of tourists, therefore the job growth and the population trends go downward. And a diversified job market is much more attractive. So if one industry has a hiccup, the whole area isn't affected. Houston, Texas used to have this problem. Houston is now a very fast growing and diverse area, but Houston used to be just all oil industry. So when there was an oil industry issue, the whole market would kind of slump. And you can tell this when you go get a loan too, right? They'll ask you where it is and the loan metrics will change and typically leverage will be lower for some of those things. So next we have landlord-tenant laws, right? And beyond the top three factors of job growth, population growth, and job diversity, the next is the landlord-tenant laws, right? So I mentioned before, California, New Jersey, New York, those are all judicial states with very tough landlord-tenant laws, meaning if you have to evict somebody, it's a very difficult court-driven process, right? Rent control is great for tenants, but it makes it incredibly challenging for landlords to make a return on investment in that area, right? Because you have contracts, pest control, property management, all those expenses continue to climb, but you have rent control, so you can't pace them, right? As an investor, you want to be looking at those laws to find out from local property managers, if it's a landlord-friendly area or not. All the states that we invest in, obviously landlord friendly. Taxes. So usually this is not something that we think about going into a property investment normally, but it can make a huge difference on the bottom line. State income taxes, property taxes will both impact operating budgets and in turn your overall return on investment. Each state has a different tax structure, and it's good to understand where you potentially be getting hit with taxes so that you're not surprised later. Florida, no state tax, right? There's a couple of tax-friendly, tax-advantageous areas. Geographical features. So we always do this, right? We do a Google drive-by, right, to look at the property before we go fly out and touch it, feel it. We're looking for bodies of water, mountain ranges, what other features would inhibit physical development of the area. As an example, coastal cities, right, limited by the ocean. Development can only get so close to the water, which forces them to build upwards or expand into the suburbs. And then that drives the value of centralized real estate, especially in a time of job and population growth. So just good factors to understand, like what are you limited by? Cost of living. So in a place where cost of living is low, especially in comparison to the median income in an area, you're more likely to experience growth. If people can afford to live in the area easily, then there's room for cost of living, rent, to rise as more jobs and people move into the area. And then local news. While the other previously listed factors are more important, once you're pretty sold on an asset and to an area, you'll want to track some of the local news stories. So, you know, it's just good to understand kind of crime, local announcements, community development, anything else that would allow for a sense of understanding about the community. Local government, just as with local news, local government is indicative of an area's future standing. It's a good idea to invest in an area with strong local leaders who support new initiatives and expanding local economy and whose vision includes making the market vibrant and welcoming. That also helps with job growth. And then finally, you want to see, do I have an unfair advantage? Well, there's always the chance that you have greater insight into a certain area more so than other investors. Maybe you have a close cousin or best friend that lives there. Maybe you went to college there. Maybe you grew up there. You know, it's funny when we started investing in different areas around the country, I would find that people were waiting for the next deal in that area because they had some kind of connection to the area, right? So it gives you kind of an unfair advantage. More weight should be given to the markets that you do have unfair advantages. So as a passive investor, you're going to focus on finding a strong sponsor first, right? The operator, that's going to be key. And then once you're starting to see their potential deals, you can look at these 10 factors in combination with your own personal investing criteria and goals to conduct thorough research without getting overwhelmed. We know that stress and clarity are inversely related. So when you can go through these 10 points, it'll help you create more clarity in your investments. And then you'll have less stress when deciding which investments to go to. So thanks a lot for listening to the Free from Wall Street podcast. Quick shout out to Joey and Russ from Wealth Without Wall Street. If you don't know these guys, head over to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com. They are doing a great job educating people for free on how to create, preserve, and pass on generational wealth, just like we are. So
thanks for listening to the Free from Wall Street podcast. If you like what you hear, leave us a rating and review and let us know what you think.